Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Right, hey everyone, and welcome to episode 42 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today we are here to talk about opportunity for failure, starting too small.
I wish that we could make people see the failure in like big red flaming letters on the podcast.
We could do it at least in a nice red, reasonably sized font.
Okay.
I can do that.
I think that sounds like a high-impact way to convey our message.
Okay. That's what we will do then.
Okay. So as Mark Veal and I were trying to figure out what we could do for our next podcast episode, after opportunity marketing, that was episode 41, and in that we talked about, you know, being opportunistic in finding markets and events and times, things that you could do to make more money quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great for part of our audience that we find, a lot of folks from the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. But the other half are the people that are interested in starting a business. They haven't started yet, and they're wondering, we get these questions all the time, what should they buy? How should they get started?
Yeah, what should they start with? I've been looking online. I saw this little kit for a few $100. I'm thinking I could start here. And then make a little bit of money, test the waters out, and then next year, I'll upgrade.
Right, and I like that because that's a really common situation, right? So you've got a Cricut or a Silhouette already, maybe, or you've got a $99 home Brother embroidery machine like I do, and you're doing this and it's craft and you're giving it to your friends and making presents, and maybe you even have a little Etsy store and you're selling some stuff online occasionally, and you're ready. You're starting to think that, man, I really want to make this a business.
Yeah. Well, so there's this thought, I guess, that I would think of, that the concept is that, you know, I can start, I can test these waters out, I can see how it is, I can see how I like it, I can see how much I can sell. And I don't have to spend a bunch of money. It's a low risk for me.
Yes.
So I can go ahead and I can do this. And there are people that do that. However, when we break it down and all of the equipment that we sell, and for example, like using like a cutter as an example, most of the people buying it, this is their first one.
Right.
Most of the people are not, I've had this Cameo or Silhouette or Cricut for 2 years, and now I'm ready to upgrade. That's not most people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you took that data backwards and you look at all the hobbyists that buy this equipment, they go online and buy it, or they go to the craft store and buy it. Most of those people literally are that. They're hobbyists. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it is fun. You know, it is. So that's fine to do that.
And if they do call and upgrade their cutter or something like that, it's normally so they can do their hobby better.
Yeah.
Right?
That is
so
true, too.
And I want to kind of have you guys that are listening fish or cut bait. Okay?
Sure.
This episode is for people that want to profit from some kind of custom apparel business. So not people that want to have a self-sustaining hobby.
Yeah.
So at the end of the episode, hopefully we'll have helped you avoid some of the traps that people fall into when they're getting started by spending too little, by having a hobbyist mindset, saying this is what I'm going to do in my free time for fun and I'll make a few dollars, versus people that actually want to start a business doing this.
Yeah, and what is the goal?
Right.
You can answer that question right away and decide if you want to continue on. Is the goal just, I want to make a few bucks while I have some fun by selling to some friends?
Yeah.
And that's it. Then, yeah, you've got a hobby. There are plenty of people who do that in everything, from carving wood to painting, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's fun, you know, to be able to paint and do a few things a month that you sell to your friends for not that much money, but it covers your supplies.
Yeah.
Self-sustaining
hobby.
Right,
right.
If that's all you want, then you can continue on or not. But if you're saying, I would like to be able to do this because I'd like to have a second income, or maybe one day run my own business, do it full time, or I hope to build a little business that I can have pass on to my children, or would all of these things, which are all people call us and talk to us about, then this is really important to listen to, I think.
I do too, because on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, you know, I saw the question just the other day. I want to get into commercial embroidery. What's the cheapest way for me to get into it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get that kind of question all the time.
Yeah.
What's the least expensive piece of equipment that you sell? What's the cheapest way for me to do this? And there's that has traps, and I understand the situation. We're going to talk about it. But that has traps and failure written all over it when you start that way.
Sometimes we get a phone call. I'm looking at this cutting machine and the one that you sell.
Yes.
And the one is $200 and one is the $1,000. And we try to immediately break that phone call and say, okay, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
But what is it? Because one is not the answer, then the other is not the answer. You know, you can't be deciding between those two if you're saying I want to start a business. It does set you up for kind of the opportunity for failure.
Yeah, it does. It's like going into a car and truck dealership. You want to start a lawn care business, and the cheapest car on the lot is a used Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
Can you start a lawn care business with that? Maybe.
I suppose you could.
Yeah, you could. But it's not going to be, you're not going to start a success.
Maybe I could tell a little anecdotal story about lawn care.
You could. That would be fascinating.
I have, I assume this gentleman's not going to listen, but I will attempt to say nothing bad about it.
Okay.
But this really nice gentleman that I met because I had a lawn care guy. Great guy, older gentleman. He had to retire out of it. His back was hurting, etc.
Yep.
So he retired out. I was sad to see him go. He was sad to go, but time takes its toll. So now I'm on the search for somebody new. I find this gentleman online. He's starting a fairly new business. He only had about 5 accounts. Him and his son doing it. Very encouraging story. And he was really, really nice guy. And he made a great deal. So I was like, of course, I'll hire you.
I only have a few
accounts, but I promise you I'll do a great job. I'm excited. So I hire him. And he comes and he starts his work, and they've got a push mower and a very inexpensive blower and a very inexpensive edger.
Yeah.
Okay? So I see them doing the work, and it's, I was like, ooh, this is going to be hard for them. This is hard work for them. But it's, again, like, I'm encouraged that they're doing their own thing. I'm happy to support them. So that mower, which is not a commercial mower, it's a home mower, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
That's what he's running. So my grass gets really high.
Yeah.
I text him, and he says, my mower broke down. I'm trying to make this happen.
Yeah.
Of course it did, right? Because he's using a non-commercial mower for commercial means. He's mowing all day for something that's designed to be used
3 hours a week.
Yes, exactly. So that's what happens. And his mower failed. So then what happens? So then he said, I'm getting it fixed. I'm actually working to upgrade. I'm getting a used rider mower.
Yeah.
All this stuff. That goes on. A few weeks go by. My grass is really high again.
Yeah.
I say, I'm going to get a letter.
From the Homeowners Association.
Yeah, I'm
going to
get a strongly worded letter. Cut your grass.
Right.
So he turns around and he goes and he says, I'll get it cut. Don't worry about it. 4 or 5 days go by, I hit him again. I said, what's going on? I bought the used one. I did 2 houses. It broke. Now it's in the shop. It's going to cost me more to fix it. And this is all true. I mean, this is 100% what happened just this, like, within the past 4 weeks of my life. So I'm going to try to fix it, but I spent $300 on this used mower, which was probably, like, maybe, let's say, $1,000 if it was new or rider. It's going to cost me another $300 to fix it. Now I was like, I need my grass cut today. I'm going to have to pay somebody to do it. It's at the point of, like...
And you're going
to
end up paying more to have somebody do it because you're in a bad spot. It's higher than usual.
Exactly. So he's like, I'm renting one from Home Depot or Lowe's, wherever he went. I'm going to rent one today so I can finish your job. And then I come home. My front is cut. My back is cut a strip down the middle and kind of an L down the side.
Okay.
And then bailed. You know, and then I've not heard back from him since. So he got through that. He rented probably another push mower because I could tell by the width it was just right. another push mower. He rented something that he could get for the day. It was taking way too long. The grass was way too high, and he gave up on his business. We haven't spoken since. You know, I've messaged him. I've called him. He's not returned my calls. So that is what.
Man, that is just the perfect example. That is a perfect example.
It literally just happened to me, and it's maybe part of the inspiration for this episode.
Yeah, so I think those are that's full of great examples, full of the traps that you get when you, I don't want to say try to buy it cheap, but maybe you're not financially prepared or think through your business, you know, and what you spend. I mean, I've got as the first trap is that. Cheap or consumer equipment in the apparel decorating industry usually make smaller prints and that are of less value because of their size and capabilities. So, I mean, that is just like the guy with the mower who's using a consumer mower and trying to run it all day and doing jobs that it's not meant to do.
Yeah, where the commercial one, I don't know the dimensions on these things. Somebody listening to me is, oh, you're way wrong. It's actually 24 inches. Whatever it is, it cuts maybe, a consumer one cuts maybe 2 feet wide, where the previous guy who had a commercial one, that thing cut probably cut 3.5-4 feet wide, and it can turn, you know, on a dime. Where this other one, you're trying to turn it, and you got to spin it around. So the work is a whole lot more. So you're not only are you taking a machine that is not meant to run that long, but you have to actually run it longer.
Yes.
Like, it's exponentially keeps growing on
itself. It's a 3-hour push mower lawn job, or it's 20 minutes in an 80-mile-an-hour riding mower.
Yeah, and the same thing with this non-commercial equipment. If you're looking at an embroidery machine, maybe it only does a 11-by-9 area.
Right.
Which, you could say, well, that covers a lot of things. It also does not cover
a lot of things too, right?
You know, and that does become a problem when we have customers that have fell into this trap and they've been able to grow out of it, but where they say, you wouldn't believe that I have these jobs where I've hooped it 6 times for one garment
just to get a bigger area.
Because they're doing, say, like letterman jackets for a school, and they're doing like, well, I'm doing one number on this one. One number on this one, half the name on this one, half the name on this one, the arm on this one, the front, and then the front, you know, in 2 spots.
Right.
Where in the commercial machine, that might have only been 3 hoopings or 2.
Yeah, or they, you know, maybe it's somebody that just, you know, picks the wrong equipment, and they're doing the consumer embroidery stuff, and they see something, you know, they see a really sexy new Viking machine at Joann's Fabrics that's still like $8,000 or $7,000 or something, and still does one color at a time. But it has an iPad bolted to the side of it, you know, basically. And, you know, if you're used to doing, you know, pillows or one color, like decorative designs, you know, the first time somebody comes to you with a 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 color logo and says, I want to get these done on polos, you know, then you're at a failure point.
Yeah.
You know, you've fallen into one of the traps.
So we've also have, and related to the size capability.
Yeah.
We've also, the speed.
Right. So, you know, and both these examples also apply both to, like, let's say the vinyl or the custom t-shirt business, as well as the embroidery business, right?
Yeah, very true. If you're talking about, because all the time, you know, just as I mentioned earlier, and we see it on the Facebook group, we get it on
we get the phone calls,
we get emails. I've been looking at this, this silhouette type of a cutter online, or a Cricut, or any of these other things that you can look at. I'm looking at that. I also was checking out your GraphTech. I'm not sure where I want to go with it. And the speed is ridiculously different.
Yeah, and I just want to say that what those people really are looking at is that they're saying, like, I'm going to spend $100 or so on this cutter, and I'll make enough money to buy yours one day. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, the problem so this is part of the trap, right?
The speed
is part of the trap. To cover that specifically, is that it is going to take you so much longer to do these things. Just like the lawn job we talked about, and the embroidery job, which the length of time it takes you to do things, one, it becomes very stressful when you have to do a big order.
Yeah.
It becomes discouraging.
Yeah.
You know, that the amount of time it took me to do this.
Right.
Was very, you know, I don't know if I want to be, you know, slaved behind this machine all weekend, every weekend. But you're not comparing it.
You know, with you're like, already, you already have a false impression.
Yes, you have a false impression.
You've got another built-in failure point.
Yeah.
Because it takes you 2 hours to do a job on a Cricut or a Silhouette, or 2 hours to do a job on a single needle consumer embroidery machine, that it takes you literally 15 minutes to do on a Graphtec or a commercial machine.
Yeah.
So you're already spending too much time, and there's no way you can see how much money you can make.
Yeah. You get this very false sense, like somebody who maybe is doing lawn, you know, going back to that example real quick, well, it's like, okay, well, I can cut 5 in a day.
Right.
And this way I can make this much money in a week, and if I get this many customers, it's how much, oh, that's not really going to pay my bills.
Right.
Well, where the other person is maybe cutting 15 in a day. And then it also, the thing is that if you've listened to every other podcast, or
right,
this is your first one, either way, there's about 40 other episodes behind this that all cover all of that time that you spent producing to make that small job. You missed out on the marketing, the sales,
getting the next set of
development.
Business.
Yeah. You know, you're missing out
website,
on all of
Facebook,
that.
You know, all that,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so you miss out on all that other opportunity.
Right.
Because you are spending, let's just say, you know,
too much time.
Yeah, too much time.
Yeah. So I mean, here's the situation. So now we'll start from scratch for a second. I want to get into the custom apparel business.
Yeah.
I really like to do embroidery. I like to do custom t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I like to do craft kind of stuff. So I'm going to start with this $200, $300, $400, $500 or $5,000 investment, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to start with the smallest investment I can possibly make, and I've got 4 to 6 hours a week to devote to seeing if this business is going to work.
Yeah.
For me. You've already failed.
Mm-hmm.
You've already failed because it's going to take you all that time to do a job, maybe. And you're not going to make enough money, and it's going to take you too long to do it to be excited and to realize how profitable you are.
Yeah, and you missed out on the business development, because the thing is like, all right, you start off with this really small piece of equipment, right? Which I think this maybe leads into the next thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you get a big job, you're going to fail.
Yes.
That's the next thing I have written down.
Right.
So as soon as you get your big job, you're going to fail. Why? Okay, so you go to you are going to a soccer game, right?
Okay.
With your kid plays soccer, or maybe both your kids play soccer. If you're a parent, this is just one example. You go there and you're making a custom made shirt that you made on your small little cutter that you spent $200.
Go Joey!
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
with
go
the number
Joey,
on the back.
Number on the
right.
Back. It's very cool. You did an amazing job.
You took all the time
in
the world.
Yeah,
because
it was for fun. You
did
an amazing job. So you're there. You're talking to the coach, who happens to be him and his wife happen to run the league, right?
Yeah, I really like your shirt.
Your shirt's awesome. Do you do this? I did it. I made it myself. Great. I really would love to fire the person who makes our jerseys.
Right.
Always making mistakes. All the excuses that you will hear. I mean, these are examples you're going to hear, whether it's at the soccer field or wherever it is. You're going to hear this. And can you do it? Yeah. Okay, what does that mean? All right, well, I have to do, there's 70 kids in the league. They each need at least 2 garments. The parents usually are going to buy a few each. You know, you do the math.
Yeah.
You're talking 400 garments to be made. Many of them are front and back.
Yeah.
So we're talking 800, you know, cuts in your cutter.
Right.
So you say yes, right? Maybe you don't do all 800 at once. Maybe that first job is 200 pieces. And you say yes. Now you spend.
Wait,
go ahead. Yeah,
you say yes, and then then he tells you how much he's paying now.
Okay, there
and
you
it
go.
Sounds like a great number.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like $12.
Yeah,
you know, or $15 for a jersey, and you're excited.
And you're like 15 times
because
100
you spent like five or $6 on your shirt.
Yeah,
and you enjoy doing it, so it sounds great.
So you've got this like maybe $2,000-$3,000 order. And you're going to fulfill it with this $500 investment you made.
Right.
Exciting, right? Like, didn't you just win? Right?
Yeah.
So then you go home and you get to work and you spend 10 hours a day for the next 5 days. You're tired.
If you're not working full-time already.
Yeah, if you're not working full-time already. Let's just pretend that you can do this.
Yes.
right? If you are working full-time, you come home, you eat dinner real quick, and then you stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And then you go to bed and you wake up at 6. You've slept 4 hours a night for the past 7 days.
You're excited the first day.
Yeah.
You're a little excited the second day. By the third day, you want to set something on fire.
Yeah. Yes, and you're like, why did I do this? This is a mistake. You're yelling at your husband.
Yeah,
your wife. Yeah, or wife. You're pissed off at your roommate.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. Like, everything is like, you are on edge. And then as you're cutting, you know, you're making mistakes now. You're weeding things incorrectly in your vinyl or you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
This has become like a giant trap. And then you turn around, you deliver this job, and you don't even want to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely not, because it took too much time, the money didn't make sense. Not only do you not want to do it again, you don't want to be in the business anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to...
Because that was no fun. It was no fun.
This is not what I thought it was going to be. And then you mentioned the money.
Right.
So that's something that's part of...
Yeah, so you figure out how much you made an hour,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up you have to turn yourself in to the Department of Labor,
yeah.
because you're making significantly less than minimum wage.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
So the other thing that you could do if you're offered that job,
mm-hmm.
is you could say, no, I can't make that. And if you wanted to go into business, that's probably the best thing you could have said.
Yeah.
Because your order's too big,
mm-hmm.
and not profitable enough. But if you say no, then that person's not going to ask you again. You know, you're losing an opportunity, because you recognize that it's too big, I can't do it, I'm just going to say no. And then I'll continue to try on the side to get just the right size jobs,
mm-hmm.
to make extra money so I can someday be able to say yes. Okay, so now you're looking for the right size jobs. And you're going to be turning away these one-time opportunities, you know, to say yes and to get new business and to grow.
Yeah, and some of those opportunities, when you're in apparel, when you're in any small business where you custom make things, you know, it doesn't even
yeah.
matter what it is. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about doing signs,
right.
it doesn't matter. Those opportunities will come, or you get the
yeah.
opportunity to do something big, but they're not going to come every day. And so it's like you're going to want to be able to jump on that stuff whenever you can.
And the next thing that people do is they will buy the equipment so they can fulfill that order.
Mm-hmm.
So they get really excited. Oh, great, I made my shirt, and the coach really is interested. The league wants me to make all these shirts, and they need it like within the next 30 days because the season's going to start. Let me go ahead and start my research to get a screen printing setup or to get a vinyl cutter, or even like, okay, now that I have all these orders, I don't even want to do vinyl anymore. Let me see what else there is out there.
I'm ready to get
and
a
now
DTG
you're
machine.
Now you're looking at
yeah.
direct-to-garment printers or t-shirt transfer
yeah.
printers, or you're looking at screen printing setup, and you've got 30 days to figure all of that out. And that's another fail.
Yes.
Because even if you pick something and you buy it, now you've got to get it delivered and train on it. Now the first thing you ever do on your new machine, and it happens with our customers all the time, is this vitally important order for 400 shirts, or however many it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 12 and it's big to you, then that's great too. And you know, you're going to be stressed, you're going to be late. It's going to be the worst job you ever did because it's the first job you ever did. You know what I mean? So it's another trap. You're setting yourself up for failure again.
When I get, I sold equipment, you know, and I've worked in the industry for many years.
Yeah.
And essentially 100% of the time when somebody calls up and they're like, I need to buy this machine because I've got a thousand shirt order to fulfill in a month.
Yeah.
You know, I immediately know that this is going to be troublesome for me in the long run, for
yeah.
me as
yeah.
a salesperson
sure.
and as helper, because you are, everything is going to be on this time crunch. All right, if we're talking about a direct garment printer, for example, or an embroidery machine,
yeah,
right, if we're talking about a big piece of equipment, this is not something that you UPS overnight
right.
in a box.
It's
okay? going
to take 7 to 10 days for you to get it.
It's big. It
or
has
bigger.
To go on a big truck.
Right.
You know, and it's going to take a long time to get to you. And it has to be coordinated.
Yeah.
You know, these trucks aren't just, they're not coming into your neighborhood every day like the
yeah.
FedEx guy is.
Yeah.
So it's got to be coordinated. It's going to take time. Generally, there's preparation involved on the equipment.
You may, if you're getting a commercial heat press for the first time, you may need a dedicated circuit.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're residential, you may need to run a separate line or get a new breaker installed or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need a training class.
Yeah.
And even though, like, a company like Coldesi offers training every week, it still happens after you get your equipment.
Yeah.
So it's 10 days for you to get your equipment at best. And then maybe that doesn't fall at the right time, so now it's another week until you get trained. So you're 2 or 3 weeks in before you print your first shirt.
And you've got to practice.
Or embroider your first shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to practice. There's a learning curve on everything.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, from learning to ride a bike, you know, to doing this. There's a learning curve on everything. It takes a little bit of time. You know, we have our cut and press system, which is like a GraphTech cutter such. And you can have success out of the box with that machine making your first shirt the first day you get it.
Yeah, you know? You can. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've
that's
seen
one
it.
Of the things that we sell on. However, that doesn't make you an expert your first day.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're not going to make any mistakes after that. We set you up for success, and then you got to practice and play and learn these things. So we went on a little bit of a tangent with that, but basically what's happening is you've erased all of that time for all that stuff we said.
Yes.
The practicing, the training, the learning, the delivery.
Yes.
All of that. In addition, you may have made a rash decision on the equipment you need.
Yeah.
What do you mean that machine can't do this?
Right.
We'll hear that stuff when people go to buy supplies. And I'm like, well, you know, you made a $30,000 investment.
Yeah.
You know, didn't you ask these questions? Didn't you talk? No, like you were in such this rush to make this decision that you saw it, you made some assumptions, and you said yes, and you weren't ready to do what you needed to do.
I didn't buy what you needed. I agree. And that kind of, you know, going back to what we were talking about with things like pricing and profitability and the time it takes and things like that, a lot of the people that are on the Facebook group and that call us up and that are doing the home thing, doing the hobby thing, that try to move into doing commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
Start with friends and family.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically this one gentleman. It reminded me when you said cut and press.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got one.
Mm-hmm.
Or he got a cutter, not our particular configuration. And he was constantly complaining that he could not make enough money. And he could not sell for enough because of competition. And, you know, he had 1,000 different reasons. And it turns out that this gentleman was in construction. And he would do his T-shirts on nights and weekends for people that he knew.
Yeah.
And what would happen is this. Someone would see something they thought was cool or funny online. And they would come to him and say, hey, man, you've got a T-shirt business. Can you make this for me? And he would say, sure. Says, great. I could buy it at $6 at Walmart.
Yeah.
Can you do that? You know, and that's the friends and family trap, you know, that people get into because they're going to rely on word of mouth, which I don't have too much of a problem with to begin mm-hmm. with, but they also are in a place where, you know, I can do 12-inch designs on my Cricut, or I can do, you know, a 10-inch embroidery design, and I can't charge that much because they're my friends and family.
And it always becomes a bit of a problem when that's the focus of your business from what I would say like a public relations type of standpoint within your group of friends, because when you make mistakes, because you're going to make a mistake at some point in time, it's very weird when they're not satisfied with the product.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't even ask for the right thing, you know, whatever it might be, you know, maybe you didn't even do anything wrong. You did it exactly what they want. They just didn't ask you for the right thing.
Yeah.
Then it gets very weird and it gets very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you're mixing this business and friendship thing. Now, it's fine to of course, do that stuff. I would encourage people to ask your friends for referrals and business and stuff. But if you're doing little one-off shirts for only people you know, and that's the start of your business without any other plan to get external business from people that you aren't friends with.
Right.
There's all types of things that can come. come from, you know, trouble that can come from that.
Agreed. So that's kind of one of the traps. Like, I want to get into business, and for this $500 doodad or this $1,000 doodad, I can do all the shirts people have ever asked me to do for them that you've been doing up until now for free. You know, and now you're going to charge them, and it's going to be the cheapest price. As opposed to, okay, I'm in business now.
Mm-hmm.
You see this $12,000 embroidery machine I just bought? I got to feed it.
Yeah.
You cannot ask me for a $5 shirt. You know, or I bought this commercial cutter, you know, and I'm doing, like, I upgraded. I'm not doing the craft stuff anymore. I'm doing professional work, you know, so I should get paid professionally. And that's a trap that a lot of people fall into, is they never get out of that kind of mindset or that rut, because they do the same thing as we talked about before. I have this piece of equipment, you know, it takes me this long to do a shirt. Because the image is small, or the quality isn't great, or I'm only marketing to my friends and family, I can only make this much money per shirt because I can't charge them as much. I'm not going to get as big of orders. Then I'll never get to the point where I've earned enough money to purchase one of the bigger machines.
Yeah, and that's the difference between having a self-sustaining hobby and a business.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with folks that just, that embroidery is fun for them.
Yeah.
And they have a little machine, and they make bibs for their cousins and stuff like that, and they charge us
sell on Etsy.
Yeah, $5, you know, like, who cares? Like, I'm not really doing it for the money. I just want to be able to pay for my supplies because I just want to be able to keep doing it because it's really fun for me.
Yeah.
That's cool, and that's fine, but that's completely different than running
starting
a business. So there's also something within that, which is next thing I've written down, is generally speaking, the cost of your supplies, the cost to produce is higher when you've got something that is not a commercial piece of equipment.
Right.
When it's a hobbyist piece of equipment, all of those supplies, everything you can buy at your local craft store, costs you more per piece.
Yeah, you can't buy a 10-foot roll of vinyl at Joann's Fabrics. Right,
like a 5 yard by 2 or 3 feet roll.
Yeah,
you know, they don't sell, they don't have shelves and shelves and shelves of that. I mean, we have an area in the back where we sell vinyl that is the length of an aisle. You know, at Michael's.
Yeah,
that is full of these rolls. You know, in the colors that it comes, they don't have that spot for that.
Right,
they have some sheets that they sell, and the sheets that they sell are $5 each. When you take that math,
do the math,
and do it out, you know, it's like it's 3-4 times the cost of being able to buy a color and a roll.
Yeah.
So the cost per garment is more. The cost of mistakes are more as well. Every time you mess up, you know, with this $5 piece, if you ruin that piece, that costs you $5. The profit on that one shirt, gone.
Yeah.
If you're doing 10 shirts
that
and you
is
make
a great
3
point.
Mistakes, gone.
Yeah, that is a great point.
Where when your supply costs are lower, when you do make that mistake, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
I didn't ruin the profit on all my garments.
Yeah, and honestly, like, we even have podcasts about that, you know, in tripping over pennies, is that if you're in the commercial business, especially embroidery or vinyl, the cost of your supplies shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be spending all of your time looking for cheaper supplies, you know, but if you're doing the consumer route, then you should, you know, because if you've got a small machine or a home-based machine, they're freaking expensive to keep fed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that becomes a trap that you fall into where you can't afford to compete. So say if you're at that soccer game, maybe he doesn't want to fire the person that he's with. He's kind of happy. He's not really committed.
Yeah.
But you're
talking
to
the husband. But he likes you too.
Yeah, the husband and the wife team you're talking to, they kind of know this person. They're a local shop. They do fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I know you. You know, my kids have been playing with you guys for 5 years, whatever it is. I'd love to get that business I'm trying to start. Would you consider using me? Sure. What would you charge? You know, this guy charges $15. And then you go across and you do the math on that small piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Not only is your cost is higher than that shop that's doing it commercially.
Yeah.
Your cost to make per piece
is higher,
and then the time is longer.
Right. And you're probably not costing the time.
You're probably not
figuring out how much you're paying yourself.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, so that's true. So then it turns around that example we gave before.
Yeah.
Well, because we will have people listening to this that are in this business that are saying, I have commercial equipment and I have worked till 2 o'clock in the morning, four days in a row. But hopefully in the end of that, you made a good amount of money. And then it's like, well, that was really frustrating to do that. I don't want to do that again. I'm going to fix my processes to make that not happen again.
Right.
By not, you know, whatever.
Or I'm going to even buy more commercial equipment. Yeah,
to make that not happen again. Where if you are starting too small, that wasn't an option for you.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an option. You can't just fix your process if it does take you 15 minutes to make each garment.
Yeah.
There's nothing to fix about that besides actually having to invest in equipment.
It's the lawnmower story.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same exact thing.
So, do you have any other of these traps that you've written down?
I think we've talked a lot of people out of getting into the custom apparel business today. maybe we should give some hope.
Well, so that's, you know, so for one, you know, if you've listened to everything we said, it all has to do with having hobby equipment, having home use personal equipment, and attempting to make that into a commercial business.
Yes.
So that's really what you have to think of, what is the takeaway from everything we've said so far. Just like using a push mower to attempt to run a commercial lawn care business.
Yeah.
So it is going to be really, really hard to do that. And there's a lot of opportunity for traps and failure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the more that you guys look at that, you know, lawn care example, the closer you'll see the parallels.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean, you know, it's kind of like, what's the thing that I'm thinking of? So he's just not that into you. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah.
Okay, so the story is that... one of the things I believe they say in there is, like, you're not the exception, you're the rule. So, yes, we definitely have people who started with this little thing.
I just thought of three right off the top of my head.
We do. We have thousands of customers.
Yeah.
We have a bunch that they're like, I literally started with this one, I started doing it, and I was working, I sweated, and I was annoyed, and then I got this big one. And yes, that does happen. And you might know somebody who said, I started a lawn business with a push mower. However, for every one of those people there's 100 that don't. And I would prefer you listening to this to start on the right foot.
It's so funny that you say that, because literally on the CAS group right now, there's at least 3 or 4 people that have said, if I could go back, I would have started with an Avance or a commercial piece of equipment. I would not have wasted the $6,000 on a Brother, you know, PR770E or whatever they are. I would have gone right to the commercial unit and saved myself all this.
Because in the end, they probably almost ended up spending as much money as if they would have gone commercial in the first place.
Yes.
Which is one trap we didn't really talk about.
Right.
But you end up spending almost as much anyway by the time you get into these things, because now it's like you bought a little heat press for $250, but now you need 2 of them.
Yeah.
And then you have a little cutter, but now I need 2 of those. So I've just turned around and I've spent $1,500 where I was basically at the commercial grade at that point in time. But now I've got
this. But you're trying to do it a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
What's the cheapest way I can get into this?
Yeah.
You know, business.
So then what do you do?
That's the big question. Because we've got to give people some hope on what they can do. And the first thing that you can do is, if it's possible for you to, I mean, really look at leasing equipment, you know, for a couple of different reasons. First of all, when you lease a piece of equipment, it depreciates differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better for your taxes. But the biggest thing is that it gives you cash flow. So while you get started, you're spending... You know, let's say you were going to spend $4,000 on a 6-needle or a high-end single-needle consumer embroidery machine, where that's cash, or that's on a credit card for that $6,000. You know, where you spend $12,000 on an embroidery machine, but that's not cash. You're spending $250, $300, $350 a month instead. So now the first time you do a good commercial job, then you're already at a profit per month. And you still have cash left over to run your business, to build a website, to do emails, to do events and things like that.
Yeah, and if you want to run a debt-free business over time, you can have a plan in place to become debt-free over time.
Yeah,
without having to become cash empty. you know, out of the gate. So that's one thing, you know, that's, and so assuming that you've got the credit to be able to do that, you can lease or you can use, or use credit cards still, you know, you can use credit, you can use one credit card, multiple credit cards, you can lease. These are all options to be able to say, but I think the decision on that is about, you know, kind of taking a jump, you know, taking a leap. And say, like, this decision that I'm making, I'm not, you're not investing in a restaurant. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, if you invest in a restaurant, you're going to spend $100,000, $300,000. You know, you're talking about a house worth of money. Nothing.
Just to be open for that 8 weeks.
Yeah, just to be open. Yeah. What we're talking about here is anything that you're investing in here is cheaper than a car, you know, or a, definitely cheaper than a car.
Cheaper than a house.
Yeah, definitely cheaper than a house, depending on the car, I guess, you know. But it's cheaper than a house, and it is, and it starts at a level that's a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah.
A few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Commercial equipment starts at a few thousand dollars is a reasonable, it's an achievable amount of money.
Yes.
To get to.
Yes.
So how do you achieve that amount of money? So if you've got, if you've got good credit, it's easy to achieve that amount of money.
Yes.
You lease, you use credit cards, you... I mean, we have people who do everything. People,
yeah.
People take out equity loans in their home sometimes to invest in their business. Some people lease. Some people use credit cards.
Yep.
Some people have chunks of, you know, savings. I mean, there's all different ways to do that if you are reasonably financially and credit sound.
Yeah.
If you are not in that position, say, you know, because we're in economic times where a lot of people lost that. They lost their credit.
Yeah.
They lost their savings.
Yep.
But now they're in a position of growth that, you know, I've got a job now, or, you know, my wife or husband or parents even, you know, I mean, we have parents that help, you know, their kids, grown kids.
Yeah.
You know, we have people who are 25 years old, their parents, you know. So whoever it is, you've got someone else who is doing well now, and you want to start this business. So this is also opportunity where sometimes you go and you write down a plan. So if you've got this good idea and your parents or cousin or roommate or husband or wife,
maybe they'll invest.
Maybe they'll invest with you. So, but you have a plan and you say, this is everything that I want to do. You write it down. This is, and they might turn around and say, why don't you buy this $300 piece of equipment?
So, well, here's why
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And give them
the lawn business example.
Yeah.
You know?
And that shows your intelligence and forethought in this investment.
Hey, but here's another radical suggestion I've got. Don't buy anything.
Okay.
You know, you could start by offering a service, you know, and ordering just get a heat press or something and order transfers. Or if you really want to start commercially and you have your sights set on a $2,500 or a $3,000 brush and bake system, or a $12,000 or a $25,000 DTG printer or embroidery machine or whatever it is, maybe you don't get anything and you use that 8 or 10 or 12 or 20 hours a week that you were going to devote to your new business right away.
Yeah.
And you get a second job and save the money for a down payment on a lease.
Yeah.
Or save the money for, you know, partial payment on a commercial piece of equipment.
Yeah, if you're talking
about... It's much more productive.
Yeah, if we kind of break it down and we say, you know, my dream is to start a t-shirt business.
Yeah.
Right? So the most economical way to get into a t-shirt business commercially...
Yes.
...is through, like, a cutting system.
Yep.
Right? And you can get a full system, the works.
With supplies.
The supplies.
Software.
The works.
Yeah.
You know, like really good, big, fast, good stuff for a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
With the works. I mean, you have enough supplies to start doing production for a few thousand dollars. You could do it less than that, but I'm saying, like, if you want the works, a few thousand dollars, just like what you said, how, you know, if you took on extra work, or you took on, or you asked around, or you took some credit cards that you had, or you used some credit that you had, or whatever it is, you know, getting to that point to say, listen, this, I'm serious about this business, I want to do it, getting to a few thousand dollars is achievable.
Yeah.
It's achievable, and I would say you'd be better off spending your time getting
to that point.
let's just say $3,000 is a number. You'd be better off spending, how long would it take me to get $3,000? What do I have to do? Okay, right. Well, you know, I talked to, you know,
I could buy a lawnmower.
Yeah, I could buy a lawnmower. You know, or, you know, but it's like, I talked to my grandfather about this, and he loves the idea. He said he would give me $500. Right. You know? So there you go. You should be in your spreadsheet. I know I can pick up some more time at work.
Yeah, good one.
There's another $500 a month for 2 months. I'm now at you know, $1,500. You're halfway to your goal in 60 days. Write that stuff down, you know? Yeah. But I think I agree with you that it's better to wait a little bit and do it right.
Yeah.
Than to try to dive in and get discouraged.
Okay. All right, so I think that is some good information.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our perspective, and like we said, there are people that start with small machines and they do work their way up to the bigger ones. They're very few and far between. They universally wish they had started off with something better, with what they ended up with, because they would have been profitable faster and successful faster. And we're almost to the point where now we're saying, if you're not going to get good commercial quality equipment to start a business, we don't want you to get equipment. You know, we want you to save money or figure out another way to finance or lease or, you know, work more or get a part-time job or borrow money until you can, no matter what equipment it is, just to give you a better chance for success and avoid all the traps.
True, because it's discouraging anytime, you know, from you know, this warm and fuzzy feeling side of things. It's discouraging anytime anybody gives up on their dreams.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know, like, it's discouraging, and that's what happens with this stuff. Oh, yeah, I tried to start a t-shirt business once.
Yeah, we get that all the time.
Yeah, you know, and it didn't work
out. You can't do it. You can't make enough money.
You can't make enough money. You can't do it. However, with the amount of supplies that go out this door every day, there's definitely a lot of people who make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But making smart choices and good decisions in the beginning and thinking things through.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, I mean, kind of plug us a bit in the end here while we're talking about it. Making a decision to work with a company that is available for you and is going to help you out, help you grow. I mean, this podcast does not cost anything, and I believe that we provide a good amount of information to help people succeed. And this is part of investing in you and your business compared to trying to always fighting for the cheapest, most, you know, just something that is not going to help you succeed.
Yeah,
you know, and which happens too often.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that wraps it up. Avoid the traps.
Yeah.
Don't try to start too cheap. If you are asking what's the cheapest way for me to get started, then you're asking the wrong question. And both Mark Vila and I will make ourselves available to talk. So if you want to talk to us, we're doing that with a few people right now. We're glad to help talk you out of whatever terrible decision you're about to make. Okay?
We want you to have an opportunity for success,
right?
Not an opportunity for failure.
True. That's a good way to put it. This has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
You guys have a good business.